This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Canty joins us here to discuss everything, football,
Sir
life,
Brother Nimsy,
all other stuff that's going on.
We got to talk about you, Reaper, and my Giants last night, too, by the way.
I figured that was coming.
Of course it was coming. How you going to send that text to the group chat after they go up 21-10 talking about ball game? how you gonna do that, man?
Listen, Chris, I don't know what winning looks like anymore, okay?
But you are aware of your powers as a Reaper. You're well aware of them.
I try to use
it's
them
not
for
like,
good.
It's not like Rick and I didn't tell you when we all did a show together. It's not like you didn't know. It's not like you're oblivious to the fact that when you put something out in the universe about a team, it usually goes left.
Thought it changed.
That is
fair. Supposedly he did it to the Islanders early this playoffs.
Wouldn't surprise me, Bart.
Why
wouldn't surprise me.
On,
he does
man?
It all the time.
No, I'm saying I'm just telling you what they said. Listen, I was all for it, man. I thought it was a wrap too. I was like, man, listen, DeSean Jackson got hurt. These are signs from the guys that all is well. You know, DeSean Jackson and you'll probably would have, in years past has been the Achilles heel for them. He finally looks like he's a 30 plus receiver now. He could be done.
I'm sitting here looking at the screenshot from Ant. You sent ball game at 11:10 p.m. last night.
Yeah, I did.
You're a bad guy.
By the way, no. Who's a bad friend? Anthony. Chris isn't even on the group chat. Why does he have to be part of our business?
Who forced Anthony forced it to him?
Al, you know that? Why? No, Al, I'm going to tell you why.
He's taking screenshots. Hey, Chris, look what he did.
You know what we call that? We call that a Dallas.
You know what it is, Alan?
Is that what that is? That sources?
Alan, you know what it is, Alan? I came in the studio with so much smoke for Evan Engram.
Yep.
And Anthony just wanted to make sure that I directed all of that vitriol to the proper place.
Really?
And it really wasn't Evan Engram. Now I know why it slipped off of his fingertips. It's because you put that out there in the universe, Reaper.
Oh, look at you being helicopter mom now. All of a sudden, it's not. No, my son didn't do it. It was the guy who said he should have caught the ball. Oh, it's your fault. I see what you're doing here. You're deflecting blame. Your play is not good enough. That's the bottom line. That's the problem. Your tight end should have made a catch, and the game's over. You know it. My problem was I had too much confidence in a guy that everybody told me was supposed to be a really good tight end. He's Chris freaking Herndon. That's what he is.
I don't know why you would have that much confidence in
him. Looks great in the airport, but once he gets on the field, he's terrible.
To know better. You've seen enough from Evan Engram this season to know better.
Yeah, I don't know.
You saw from the turnover he had in the second quarter. You know better.
I told you. I don't know what winning looks like anymore. I don't.
So tell me.
I think I do now, but I keep messing it up. I don't recognize it anymore.
But all in all, like we're both New York teams, we're to the point, Chris, where we have to make the decision who stays and who goes. So if I had to say, he stays, he goes, what would you say about the general manager?
About Dave Gettleman?
Yeah.
I'm saying that he's probably on his way out the door. Listen, it's never a good thing when the owner comes out at the beginning of the offseason and says the GM has to improve his batting average. And then you have a former first-round draft pick from a year ago get cut. Because he's got felony charges for aggravated assault down in Florida.
Yeah,
fair point. That's never a good thing. And then the jury is out on all three of Dave Gettleman's top 10 picks that he's had since he's been GM of the Giants.
No.
Saquon Barkley tore his ACL, but there was a question about whether or not you should have taken a running back when you got five quarterbacks that went in the first round that year, including Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. That's neither here nor there. Daniel Jones, we'll see what the rest of the season has to hold. But listen, the kid's got 34 turnovers in 20 games.
Call those junior whopper
hands. And then Andrew Thomas is a turnstile. It's Eric Flowers 2.0.
Oh, see, and you said that last night, and that blew my mind that you would go there already.
Listen,
you really see it? That's you see that in him?
Alan, it's the same level of concern. It is. When you look at it, it's clear that the kid is swimming. And I get it. There's a lot going on, the speed of the game. It's hard to adjust to the NFL. There's a learning curve that goes along with it.
Well, three guys that he was picked before
has made it. But when you see people putting this kid in the spin cycle, I mean, Derek Barnett had that kid not knowing whether he was coming or going. And Vinny Curry did the exact same move two quarters later.
Yes.
Now, lucky Daniel Jones was able to avoid that one. But you had that. And then Nathan Gary comes along on a simple stunt where the defensive end veers inside and the outside linebacker scrapes on the outside and he doesn't get back out and Nathan Gary sacks your quarterback. Those sacks end up being drive killers. And what's been one of the things that we've been talking about with this Giants offense? They're not able to sustain drives. You know why they're not able to sustain drives, Alan? Because they're in too many damn third and longs. Last night, the Giants were 3-10 on third downs. In the seven conversions, here were the downs and distances. 3rd and 13, 3rd and 7, which resulted in a pick, 3rd and 17, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 12, 3rd and 7. Now, Bart, you played in this league a long time.
Yeah.
You going to convert many third downs at that down and distance?
Oh, you're getting that blitz package, baby. We get 3rd and 7. We get the party. We could go rock, paper, scissors about who get to eat.
Exactly.
How much is that?
Guess who's saying that? The defensive line, right?
Yeah.
Because it's an obvious passing situation. Yeah. So they're teeing off. They're teeing off.
I'm sorry, Chris. I just want to understand. How much of that has to do with the lack of a running game? I know there's no Saquon, but and you lost Freeman. They just don't establish any kind of run whatsoever.
Well, I thought they did a good job of establishing the run last night.
Well, Daniel Jones did.
Yeah, well, Daniel Jones did. But, I mean, even if you take that one out, that was an 80-yard run. They still ran the ball for 160 yards. So, I mean, they still got 80 yards of rush game
productivity. Half was on one play.
Yeah, but they still had rush game productivity, Allen. They had more balance running the football in that game than any other game that they had this season. And if you looked at the end of the game, they did a damn good job of 4-minute offense. I mean, they came out in a situation where it's 4 minutes and 34 seconds left, and the Eagles knew that they were trying to run the ball. And that offensive line was getting movement at the point of attack with Gallman and Deion Lewis. The only thing that was missing out of that 4-minute offense drive, the only thing that was missing was your tight end coming up with the catch on 3rd and 7. That's it.
Yeah,
if
that's
he makes that play, it's game, set, match. It's over. You got the ball inside the 30, inside of 2 minutes, with the Eagles only having 2 timeouts.
All right.
But let me go back to what Bart said, because that's something that I asked. I'm looking at it from a different perspective because of my affinity for the Jets. I'm looking at the Giants. I'm watching Joe Judge and what he's doing with this team. And I'm seeing a team that is very competitive, that each week seems to be getting better and better with no preseason. It's a new coach. And that they have a luft issue. They have a lack of freaking talent. They just don't have enough pieces in certain places. Ingram being that one where you're like, if he's got to catch that, and the game is pretty much over, right? So I look at it that way. But I'm actually, am I wrong saying that? Do you think that, no, they have, there's a lot of issues still with this group? Because if they go into this offseason and you feel like they're trending in the right direction, who is the GM to make these decisions? Because these are very important decisions. You could be a team that's trending up, but if you make one or two bad moves, you're no longer trending up. It's a huge offseason waiting for this team.
No, there is going to be a huge offseason waiting for this team. And I thought last night was the game that you would point to and say, okay, they lose that game. They're probably out of contention. You're probably talking about having a top half of the first round pick, if not a top 10 pick. So you do have to look toward the future. And I think that whoever your general manager is going to be in 2021, it's got to be somebody that Joe Judge is comfortable with, because you have to have synergy at the top of the organization in terms of being able to create an identity for this team. Now, this is what I'll say about Joe Judge. In terms of overall level of compete, the fight that we see this team have, Allen, I'm with you and Bart. I think it's pointed in the right direction, but now it's about, okay, let's find the players that we need, the building block pieces, to bring Joe Judge's vision into focus.
With that being said, right? With that being said, understanding that this team has a lack of talent, as Allen would say, right? We have a very important day that comes up November 3rd, right? No, it's not just the presidential, candidacy, right? It's not just that. Mm-hmm. It's the trade deadline.
Saw you filled out your ballot, by the way.
Well, you know what I'm saying?
I saw you filled out your ballot.
I got to be responsible.
That's a good thing.
I couldn't sit this one out.
Yeah, your home state is an important state.
Yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm a value voter, so now, you know what I'm saying? Show me some love. You know, I need some tax breaks.
I'm a warrior.
But you looked at, November 3rd, what's going on is the fact that, you can trade some players. And if you say, hey, I don't like that Dave Gettleman paid Golden Tate, and if you're Joe Judge saying, hey, he's not part of my future, he's part of the present and the past, let's get him out of here, then you start to look to try and move some of these pieces. So on this roster, when you go down, we see it already happening with the Jets, right? They got rid of Le'Veon. They got rid of I don't even know the linebacker they got rid of. I've never even heard of this dude.
Oh, Jordan Willis?
Never heard of him, but
Steve McClendon.
Yeah, they got a postage stamp for both.
Yeah, the Jets are punting on the season, but I see what you're saying about the trade deadline and wondering, what guys are you going to keep? What guys are you going to move on from? I will answer that question this way. I thought the most important question that the Giants had coming into this season was whether or not Daniel Jones is their franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
So I would hesitate to move off of any pieces that I might need in order to evaluate him this year, especially going into the second half. I want to try to give him as much help as he needs in order to see if he can clean up some of the mistakes and he can grow into the quarterback that we believe he has the potential to be. So that's the part of it that I would try to focus on. What pieces does my young quarterback need in order to try to support him so I can get the answer as to whether or not he's my guy? Because you're right. This is an important offseason in terms of the overall direction.
Yeah.
And if Daniel Jones isn't your quarterback, you're talking about setting your program back two or three more seasons.
Yeah. But you talk about Gettleman giving Sterling Shepard money, giving Golden Tate money. If you can clear those off the books, I don't know what free agency looks like this year. It's going to be a unique year. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, maybe draft picks doesn't have the same equity that it had before because nobody knows what these college players are going to look like. They're not going to get a really true look at these guys. We don't know what the combine is going to look like, mm-hmm. what workouts are going to be like. You know, next year, you think about March, we still could be in the middle of this, of COVID. And so, like, now you may say, you know what, I'd rather go with known commodities and try and use these draft picks that I have to go get players. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. And it's crazy because I'm looking, you know, yesterday and, you know, it's this opportunity because Leonard Williams is playing well. If you think that you can't get anything for him, I mean, if you think that you can't pay him, then you look at what happened to Yannick. He's on a franchise tag. You can move a guy like Yannick. I'm sorry. Yeah, he changed his name. Terrell Terrell. Man, get out of here, man. Say Yannick, if you want to talk about it.
Let's just go with
Ngakoue. You know what I mean? Like, you'll have an opportunity to maybe move a guy like Leonard Williams unless you are planning on giving him $100 million, you may be able to get some equity for Joe Judge to build his team the way that he wants, even though Dave Gettleman may not be the general manager. As an owner, Maron Tisch could go to him and say, you know what, move these pieces, find a destination for him so that Joe Judge can have a clean slate.
I hear what you're saying. I guess the other part of this that I look at is saying, how valuable is a player like Leonard Williams in terms of helping Joe Judge build the culture that he's trying to create here with the Giants? Because you're trying to lay the
foundation.
You're trying to lay the foundation for sustained success. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I will say is that defense is flying around.
Yeah.
That defense is a lot better than any of us thought it would be coming into this season. And Leonard Williams is a big part of that, along with Kyler Fackrell and Blake Martinez and James Bradbury. All Dave Gettleman moves. So I'll give Dave Gettleman credit for that. That defense is a lot better. I don't know if I necessarily want to move off of Leo at the deadline, even if I might not be re-signing him, just because I think along with the messaging that's been coming from Joe Judge, you got to have some tangible results in the way of winning. I mean, all that discipline and all that stuff, that only goes so far if you're not winning games.
Gotcha.
That becomes a message that falls on deaf ears. So
that's
to me, that defense is the best opportunity that you have to keep you in games because you see your offense has been struggling.
Well, just for those out there that's keeping score, understand, Fackrell, Bradbury, Martinez still got a deficit because a player that he brought in gave $50 million.
Slayton picks up in the late rounds,
too.
That's a good pickup.
But he's still at a deficit because a player that he brought in and gave $50 million is on the Jets practice squad. That should be the biggest indictment on any general manager.
Bart, you're not wrong about your criticism of Dave Gettleman. You know how I know you're not wrong? Yeah. Because the owner said it before the season started.
Yeah.
The owner said, when the owner comes out and says it, you know there's room for improvement with your general manager.
We're running out of time, guys, but there's a couple of things that I want to get to real quick. First and foremost, because somebody asked that Jay Black asked us on Twitter to ask you, and just yes or no answer. He just said, please ask CeCe, is Daniel Jones a franchise quarterback? Yes or no, Chris?
To be determined, man.
Okay, so you don't know. We don't know yet. All right, that's fine. Now, the last thing is, it's just something we need to settle quickly because Bart upset Keyshawn Johnson, and clearly he upset you as well with his comments on KJZ earlier this week about how Dallas Cowboys have always been soft. When he played against them, they were always soft. Chris Canning was on KJZ this morning and had this reply.
Whenever I ever played a Dallas Cowboys team, it was always the softest team I've ever played.
I don't think he was talking about me. I mean, I see Bart Scott every single day. He comes to work at ESPN New York, and he's never said anything about me being a soft football player.
I know he wasn't talking about me.
I know he wasn't talking about me.
I know he wasn't talking about me.
Oh, okay, Key.
I didn't say he was talking about you.
Okay.
I'm just saying I know he wasn't talking about me.
Well, I mean, Bart Scott got an awful lot to say for somebody that ain't got no jewelry on his finger. Lot to say.
Oh.
So I hate to end on that, but...
So really, can I respond? Like, really, Absolutely. The narrative of the Cowboys is that they take a lot of credit for being a great team and a great organization. They haven't been that in a long time, and that they walk around with that bravado and their chest out because every year, because being in Dallas is like his own country, right? It's like his own country. Around there, they have one perception of how the fans look at them. But outside of that, outside of Texas, we look at them as underachievers. We've never said, hey, this Dallas Cowboy team has overachieved. And that's an indictment because you should be able to overachieve at times. They've always been considered one of the most talented teams in the NFL, but they've never lived up to expectations. They're the team every year, like we say about the Yankees, oh, this is their year. This is the year that they're going to get it done. And they always underwhelm us. And this year, because of different circumstances, it's going to not be any different.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, one thing I will say. Bart Scott caught a little bit of shrapnel there, but he's not wrong in his evaluation of the Cowboys. They got a culture problem, and yeah, I believe at the heart of it is ownership and this mentality that they have. And there's a reason why the Dallas Cowboys are my ex. If you want to bring it back to a real-world analogy, like, I left it for a reason. There's a reason why. I realized I couldn't get a championship down there. I rolled with the winners and came up to New York. Just saying.
Yeah, they look good. They're that fine chick, all that stuff, man. You realize she can't cook and she got halitosis.
Hey, Bart, 13-3 in 2007 was real cool until the New York Giants bounced us out of the playoffs on their way to winning the championship.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
that's when I said to myself,
so you put a KD? You put a KD?
Hey, we are going to leave it right there. We're
going to
let these guys continue this conversation as we go off the air.
Don't miss Bart Scott and Alan Hahn. Weekdays at 11 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN.